We are joined this morning on the phone by Bruce Vanatta. Bruce is a founder and president of Sweetbread Ministries. He's also an author of the book Saved by Angels. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when folks think about things like miracles, oftentimes we think in biblical terms. That happens a long time ago. Miracles don't happen today, but you've got a story that proves that wrong, don't you?
I sure do.
Can you talk a little bit about your experience?
Yeah. In 2006, I was a mechanic. I traveled around the state of Wisconsin here, and I was working on a Peterbilt logging truck. And it was a three-day job. Just got finished up basically at the end of the night, putting this thing back together. I was working with a mechanic slash driver from that logging company, and I was just putting my tools in my truck, and the guy said, "Hey, before you go, I'd like you to take a look at something, under one more thing before you go." And he said there's just a dirty spot in the engine he thought was like an oil leak, and he just wanted some help looking at it. And so I looked, he pointed, and he said, "Up underneath there." Now, this is a conventional, it's a long nose truck. So it has a hood, a big chrome bumper in the front. And he had removed the passenger front wheel. If you were to look under that big chrome bumper on this truck, or basically any big semi-truck, you'd see the lowest thing to the ground is the front axle that goes between those two wheels. The reason why is because it's a dropped axle. And so he's pointed underneath there, and so he had jacked up the passenger side and removed that wheel so we could get access to the engine, because that's what we were working on, was the engine. And I got the engine running again, and that's why I was getting ready to leave. And it was a Thursday night, and he was going to come back Friday morning and finish this thing up. But my part was done because I was just called to do the technical work on the engine. So I slipped underneath this chrome bumper on a creeper, a little thing that mechanics use to go underneath vehicles, laying on my back. And I went underneath the bumper feet first, feet towards the back of the truck, and now I'm laying directly underneath that axle. And that axle's got 10,000 to 12,000 pounds of weight, so about 5 to 6 tons of weight on it. It's going right across my midsection, just above my belly button, basically, between my ribs and my pelvic bone. And he got up inside the truck. I asked him to go check the temperature of the truck as I slipped underneath it, because the engine's running at this point to test my repair that I'd already done. And when I went underneath and he got up inside, now that axle, again, is right across the middle of my body, just above me. And when he got inside, the truck kind of shifted. And in the peripheral vision of my left eye, I saw the jack that he had used to jack up that axle wiggle, and then all of a sudden it shot up from underneath the truck like a rocket. And that axle came down like a blunt guillotine and just crushed my body to the cement. And again, 10,000, 12,000 pounds of weight, and it's maybe, I don't know, at least 6 inches wide. So basically in a swath between my ribs and my pelvic bone, I was just crushed down flat. When things fell on me, immediately a shot of blood came up from the inside of my body, up my throat, into my mouth, and I turned and spit it out, but it stopped. It was just that initial shot that came up when this thing fell on me, and I called out, "Lord, help me," twice. And when I looked down, I saw there was about an inch of airspace between the bottom axle, the cement, and on my left-hand side, which would be the passenger side of the truck as I was laying underneath it, and on my right-hand side, it was about 2 inches thick, because the driver's side wheel was still on, so that axle was coming up at an angle. And the guy jumped onto the truck and ended up jacking up off of me. But it was incredible pain. I couldn't see the bottom half of my body because the axle was so tall. But when it fell through me, all I can see is the top half of my body and the axle. And the guy got it up off me, and I looked like a cartoon character. I remember thinking that when I looked at myself, it looked like something out of a cartoon. And so I begged him to get me off underneath the truck at this point, because where he had jacked it up the second time, he couldn't put the jack underneath the axle anymore because now the axle's on the cement. So when he jacked it up, I'm afraid that the jack is going to slip out, so I'm asking me out, and he wouldn't touch me because he could tell I was so thin, if you can picture this, the people listening today, I was so thin that my vertebrae and my back were broken the width of the axle, so I was thinner right in the middle of my body. I was thinner than my spine by just a little bit because it had fallen down just enough to break the vertebrae, but not like totally crush them. And so the guy wouldn't touch me, and so I reached back and I grabbed the bottom of that chrome bumper, and I tried to pull myself out, and I was able to pull myself out just far enough that just my head is now sticking out from underneath the front bumper. And at that point, I died. And I say I died because at that point, my spirit left my body and went up into the roof of the garage, and I began to watch everything from above. And when the emergency people ended up getting there, I didn't have a pulse. My eyes were closed. My head was slumped to the side. The guy, I'm watching from everything from above now, and the guy's on his knees above me, running his fingers through my hair and crying. And he had jacked up a tree, not used any safety equipment, so he's apologizing and saying stuff like, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I should be the one that's dead, not you," not in just crying and throwing a fit. And I was just watching from above in perfect peace. And but the amazing part really was that on each side of my body was a humongous angel. They didn't have wings like sometimes you see on TV or somewhere, but they were just really big guys. This guy I was working with was maybe 6'1", 6'2", and they were on each side of him, and their heads stuck up a couple feet taller than his, so they would have had to have been about 8 feet tall. They were wearing robes. They had long hair. They were glowing. You know, there was a light emanating off of them, and they had their hands on my body. We found out later that, according to some major studies that have done on arteries being severed in the body, they say doctors make the claim that I'm the only person they can find in the world that has ever lived with five arteries being completely severed, five places that arteries were severed in my abdomen. And it turned out 2 hours and 40 minutes from the point that the truck fell on me until I got operated on. So they said if you have one artery severed, you should bleed to death in like 8 to 10 minutes, and I had five. So I should have, about the time that when my spirit left my body, that's perfectly in time with when I should have died. And the emergency people just came, and I watched from above, and then this lady showed up, one of the last two people to get there, and she started patting me on the face and saying, "Open your eyes, open your eyes." And everybody else had kind of just left me alone. And for the most part, you know, basically saying that I was listening. They were saying it's too late and stuff like that. And this lady just kept saying, "Open your eyes, come on." And she's patting me in the face. And next thing I knew, my spirit went back into my body, and I'm looking at this woman eye to eye. And just very life-changing for me. I'd owned my own business before in that being a diesel mechanic, and I owned my own mobile service before, and it was very lucrative. It was a good business for us. But this was such a life-changing event. You know, I ended up spending a year in and out of the hospital, five operations and stuff. But, again, it was such a life-changing thing that I've gone into full-time ministry. I started this 501c3 nonprofit. We built a couple of boys and a girls orphanage side-by-side in Honduras with the equity from our home, and we just go around. In fact, I was just in Iowa the last 4 days.
Very good.
At a horse camp over on the South Dakota corner.
Mm-hmm. It's just an amazing story when you listen to the life-changing events that go on like that. And would folks that knew you when you were young, would they be shocked now to hear that you are writing books and involved in the ministry?
Absolutely. I was a 20-year pot smoker, drinker, partier, riding Harleys and living wild and crazy, racing motorcycles. In fact, close to you, I looked where you guys are up on the map in Winterset, Iowa. I used to go down there and race motorcycles at Enduro down there. So, yeah, my life was completely different. And up to about a year before the accident is when God really got a hold of me. And that's when I got sober and things had really changed my life about a year before the accident happened. So when I called out, "Lord, help me," really I called out, you know, I was calling out the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was saying, you know, in my heart, the thoughts that went through that was, if God could get me sober after, you know, smoking pot every day for 20 years and doing all the stuff that I did, if he could change my life, do all that stuff that I thought was impossible and would never change, then he could help me through the situation I was in then.
What kind of response do you get, Bruce, when you visit with folks about your story?
Well, it's mixed. You know, I mean, there's people that are, you know, adamantly don't believe in God. And if you don't believe in God and you hear a story like this, then either you got to say I'm crazy or I'm lying or something like that. But as I tell these people a lot of times, I mean, think about it logically. Think about what would my agenda be. I'm not making near the money I made before. I mean, so it's not for money. It's not for attention, because it's not like I'm trying to say that I did anything great or anything like that. It was pretty stupid for me to be underneath the truck with no jack stands. I mean, it makes me look dumb, if anything. I mean, there's, I've got no agenda. You know what I mean? It's just, I'm just trying to tell people, look, when we die, there is life after death, and we're going to go somewhere. And as I travel around the world, other countries, and, you know, a lot, mostly in the United States, but definitely other countries too, it's interesting, as I talk to people and they share their after-death experiences when they get resuscitated, whether it was a car accident or, you know, a motorcycle accident or operation gone bad or whatever, and the things that people experience around the world, they're all the same. I mean, either people die and they go to heaven, or they die and they go to hell before they get resuscitated. So, I mean, it's just, it is what it is.
Wow. Bruce, if they want to learn more, can they, the book Saved by Angels and the website Sweetbread Ministries, will they be able to learn more at either one of those sites? And can they get the book through the website?
Sure, you can get the book at the website. You can get it at bookstores or wherever. It's Saved by Angels is the name of that book. And you, like you said, sweetbreadministries.com or .org, either one will get you to our website, and you can learn more about our ministry and stuff. We speak at schools, jails. I do a lot of prison ministry and stuff. You know, like this weekend, just being in Iowa doing a horse camp, speaking to girls at a horse camp, and, you know, wherever it got, lots, pretty much mostly churches, but we definitely do all this stuff, you know, community events, whatever.
I get the impression, listening to you, Bruce, and visiting a little bit, that you're probably much happier now than you thought you were earlier in life, when maybe you were making more money and maybe more goal-oriented.
Well, absolutely. It's definitely rewarding. I mean, it's a different, absolutely different kind of work, for sure. If somebody's truck was broke, I'd show up and I'd fix it, and there was definitely a sense of accomplishment in knowing that it was, you know, before and after, broken and then now fixed. And the kind of work that I'm in now, a lot of times, is less tangible. And so there's, you know, that's kind of, you know, hard a little bit. And like you said, I mean, there's definitely a monetary difference and stuff, but it's more rewarding in the fact that, you know, when I think about knowing, I mean, I know that there's nobody in the world that could ever convince me otherwise. I know that I know that I know that when we die, we are going somewhere, and there's only, you know, really, there's only two destinations. And I want as many people as I can help to be able to go to the right destination, where it's going to be, where everything is going to be peaceful and good, as opposed to the other destination. And when I talk to people that have experienced, died and experienced hell, it's scary to even listen to their stories.
The Lord works in everyone's lives, maybe not as dramatically as he did in yours, but we all need to pay attention to the signs and make sure we're pointed in the right direction with our lives, right?
You got it.
All
That's
right.
it.
Yeah, very good. Well, Bruce, an amazing story. I wish we had more time to visit, but thank you very much for your time, and continued success to you with both the book and the ministry online, and what you're doing personally, too. Good luck.
Thank you.